It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Welcome to Quantum number 68. For those of you who are new, Quantum is a podcast that looks at news and views and culture from a Christian perspective. And we call it Quantum of Hope because although some of the things we look at are pretty depressing, to be honest, a lot of the news is that way. There are other things that, well, maybe the solution, maybe saying there are things that are hopeful, which is true, but even the most depressing things, there is hope in Christ, and that's what we try and point to. So there's some tough stuff in this one, but hang on and let's try and look at this in a broader perspective.
God is king, we the soldiers, ultra beam out the solar. When I get to heaven's gate, I ain't gotta peek over. Keeping perfect composure when I scream at the chauffeur. I ain't mean, I'm just focused. Put a lean out slower. Got us clean out of soda. Before the flood, people judge. They did the same thing to Noah. Everybody wanted Yandy. That Jesus Christ did the laundry. They say that we start on Monday, but the strong start on Sunday. Won't be in bondage to any man. John 8:33. We the descendants of Abraham. Yea, should be made free. John 8:36. To whom the Son set free. He say the rich like me.
Well, let's begin with something really positive. Just coming back from last week, and that is Kanye West, or is it Kanye West? There is an argument about how you pronounce it, but you know the story that this rapper had projected a kind of God complex through a blasphemous alter ego, Jesus. He's now repented of that. He's declared himself a born-again Christian, and he's devoted his life to working for God. And I personally think it's great, and I actually love the album, and I've listened to a couple of the services, and they're pretty cool. We mentioned that last week. I know of one church here in Australia, an Anglican cathedral, who are using the songs of Kanye West as an outreach thing. So, or Kanye West as an outreach. I like the idea that the American Bible Society had said that in the US, anyone interested in receiving a Bible free of charge can do so by November the 22nd.
We got the product, we got the tools, we got the minds, we got the youth, we going wild, we on the loose, people is lying, we are the truth. Everything old should now become new, the leaves will be green, bearing the fruit. Love God and our neighbor as written in Luke, the army of God and we are the truth.
But there is one thing that, you know, it disturbs me a little bit, apart from the whole celebrity Christian thing. It's the notion or the report that it was said Dr. John Farquhar Blake, Director of Ministry Intelligence at the American Bible Society, says this: we're seeing as a rising trend that most Americans turn to Google as a de facto spiritual guy. Guys, please do not do that. Do not turn to Google as a de facto spiritual guide. We turn to Christ. We turn to his word. We do not turn to Google. Don't give Google that kind of power. Well, let's stick in the States and something not such a good thing. And that is, of course, Paula White, who we again mentioned last week and who I've written about with her new book. She has now been appointed a spiritual advisor to President Trump. And one of her latest pronouncements is this.
Literally the God aspect, what God told me to do, how I even got involved. Because one thing I said, I'll never do politics. But when it came down to it, it wasn't about doing politics. It was about an assignment to say no to President Trump would be saying no to God. And I won't do that.
To say no to President Trump, she says, would be saying no to God. Well, there's so much that could be said about this, but I think just let me put it simply. It's heresy, and it's wrong. And there's another bit of news coming out of the United States as well, and that is that a judge in New York State, Paul Engelmeyer, had ruled on Wednesday, November the 6th, that the Trump administration cannot enforce a rule protecting healthcare workers from being forced to participate in abortions. And the reason they've said of this is it's unconstitutional. So here's a judge saying that the US Constitution demands that, contrary to their beliefs, contrary to the science, contrary to all humanity, nurses, doctors, and other healthcare workers have to participate in something which they regard as fundamentally immoral and wrong. Is this really what the US Constitution says? Or is it the fact that we now have judges who feel that the US Constitution says whatever they want it to say? It really is an extremely disturbing development. Now let's go to the UK. Well, it's also America. In fact, it's worldwide, this one. And this is an incredibly interesting story. Listen to this woman, Amy Robach, who's an ABC news anchor. Now, she's caught on here talking to a friend or a colleague, and it's an open mic, and it's been recorded. It's been put out on YouTube. It's had millions of views. But just listen to it first, and then let me comment on it.
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways. We were so afraid we wouldn't be able to interview Kate and Will that that also quashed the story. And then Alan Dershowitz was also implicated in because of the planes. She told me everything. She had pictures. She had everything. She was in hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton, we had everything. I tried for 3 years to get it on to no avail. And now it's all coming out. And it's like these new revelations. And I freaking had all of it. I'm so pissed right now. Like,
now, what's the story? The story is that ABC News stopped Amy Robach and others reporting on this. That there was a woman, in fact, there were several, who were prepared to publicly talk about Epstein, the man who was accused of various sexual assaults and procuring girls for well-known celebrities and rich and powerful people, including Prince Andrew and Bill Clinton, and who died, shall we put it, in mysterious circumstances. Now, you know the story. But what for me is the most fascinating thing in this is that here we have a story that was squashed, that's now come to light. But have you heard about it on the BBC? It's interesting living in Australia because you get lots of stuff here that, you know, it's just tabloid sensationalism. But you get stuff about the royals that British press would never report. Now, is that out of respect for the royals or is it because of the pressure they've had from the palace? What Amy Robach says is that ABC backed off because they wanted to be able to do interviews with Will and Kate. And the palace made it perfectly clear that if they continued this story, which included very serious allegations against Prince Andrew, then they wouldn't be able to have that interview. Part of the problem here is that this is, again, the rich and the powerful colluding and working together. Now, you have to be really careful as a Christian because there are all these kinds of conspiracy stories and so on. But I don't think this one is a conspiracy story. I think there's sufficient merit in this. And I think this particular piece of evidence is incredibly powerful. And I find it utterly fascinating that I suspect most of you who are in the United Kingdom will not have heard about this from the BBC. You'll have heard about lots of different things. You'll have heard about our elections, which I'm going to say very little about. You will have heard about Jacob Rees-Mogg saying that he would have gone out of the Grenfell building and the outrage that has caused. You will hear various things that Jeremy Corbyn says that are relatively trivial and irrelevant. You'll hear lots and lots of different things, but will you hear about this scandal? I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. And if I am, you can tell me where you heard about it. But if not, I suggest you go and we'll put a link to the video. It is an incredibly depressing story. The rich and the powerful. There are some, obviously, who are good and fine people. But there are others who use their wealth and use their power to abuse and then to cover up that abuse. It seems as though there's a change going on in our culture which is profoundly depressing. So it used to be that when you were radical and when you were progressive, you were against violence. Do you remember those days? Violence was right wing, violence was wrong, we're for peace and we're for love. Well, there's been a shift, and it's not a subtle shift, and it's becoming more and more mainstream for people to openly advocate violence against those with whom they disagree. Here in Australia, we have a program called Q&A. It's done by ABC. And this past week, they had four feminists on it, and they had one panel host who was also a feminist. Listen to this question and the first part of the answer. Now, again, the whole program was just thoroughly depressing, but just listen to this and listen to it very carefully. And if your reaction is the same as mine, you're going to go, "You're kidding. Did she say that?" I'm going to have to listen to that again. Here we go.
When trying to bring about significant change, when is aggression and violence a better option than assertiveness, strong arguments, and modelling the behaviour you expect of others?
I have a great answer for this that a lot of people do not like. I want patriarchy to fear feminism. And there is a chapter in my book on violence. There is a chapter on my book about white women who voted for Trump and white women who accept crumbs from patriarchy because they allow their whiteness to trump their gender. I'm fully aware of this. But at the end of the day, even those white women have to recognize that nothing protects them from patriarchy. Nothing. For me, as a feminist, the most important thing is to destroy patriarchy. And all of this talk about how if you talk about violence, you're just becoming like the men. Your question is a really important one, but I'm going to answer it with another question. How long must we wait for men and boys to stop murdering us, to stop beating us, and to stop raping us? How many rapists must we kill? Not the state, because I disagree with the death penalty, and I want to get rid of incarceration, and I'm with you on the police. So I want women themselves. As a woman, I'm asking, how many rapists must we kill until men stop raping us?
So Mona, them's fighting words. Spectator Australia is already saying Mona's promoting violence.
Well,
that's what you're doing?
That is, I think, someone called Mona. I won't describe how she looks. That's not the issue. But think very, very carefully about what has just been said here. Apart from the irrationality and irresponsibility of basically declaring all men as murderers and rapists and all women as innocent victims, what she's done is on national television, she has said women must kill rapists. Now, fascinatingly, because she's so illogical and, you know, she has to have her message right on, she's against capital punishment by the state. But no, it's okay for ordinary citizens to murder people. She sounds like some right-wing nutty fundamentalist. But she says it's okay. It's okay. In fact, women must kill men and boys. Not the state, and they mustn't go to prison. But they must be killed. And later on, she goes to talk about how ideas of openness or peace or whatever, that these are, I can't remember if it was peace, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was, you know, politeness and civility, that these are white Western male words. So here we have it, sisters. If you want to redeem the world, you want to save women, go out and kill men. Get involved in violence. Violence is the answer. Well, I don't think violence is the answer, whether you're right-wing, left-wing, whether you're male or female, whatever your sexuality or whatever, violence is not and cannot ever be the answer. The Lord hates bloodshed. And yet, this, you know, can you imagine? Let me ask you a question. Can you imagine if this was a man suggesting we go out and kill women? The program would be over. That person would never appear on television again. But somehow the host and the audience, the others, nobody calls them out on this. Nobody. That's what got me. Okay, there's one slightly crazy person who says this sort of thing. But nobody calls them out. What a mess. So I think there's a trend in society towards more violence. There's also a trend in society to continue to destroy the family. And let me just mention a couple of things that I think are next. One is polygamy. Now, CBS have come out with a documentary. Here's the advert they put for it.
Yeah, it is a triad monogamous relationship, which is sounds kind of weird.
I am shocked at how common consensual non-monogamy is now.
It's not just about sleeping with each other's husbands, you know. Our lives are meshed together.
A lot of people think that, you know, when you're three people in a relationship, you're dividing attention. But we see it as we're multiplying the attention.
Many people are trying to create family in different kinds of ways, and I think a lot of people see that as dangerous.
My ex-husband is explicitly concerned. I think he's in that mindset. This is not normal. This is not how it's supposed to be.
Giving somebody an out may give them an excuse to have a permanent out.
We're not here to just wreck the world and burn it down.
Now, you see what's being said. Monogamy is out. We want polygamous marriages, polygamous relationships. And they're saying we're not out to burn down society. Actually, that's precisely what they are going to do, whether they intend to do it or not. Because, you know, the Lord in his mercy granted us the notion of marriage between a male and a female, of children being born within that, and of all the support network, no matter how imperfect many families are, that is. When you destroy the family, you destroy that support network. When you create these kind of actually very selfish relationships, you are destroying the family. And what you are ultimately doing is you are destroying society. Yes, you are burning down society. But another way that happens is the removal of God's standards for sex and sexuality. And we warned you that there's a slippery slope. So, San Diego State University has normalized pedophilia as a sexual orientation. And again, this is something that I believe is going to happen more and more. I do believe that pedophilia will increasingly be normalized. The New Zealand Navy, I'm just going to mention these things because we don't have time to go into them all. The New Zealand Navy has released gender-neutral grooming standards. So that, oh my goodness, if you're a sailor, you can, and male as well as female, you can wear pink lipstick or whatever. No, I'm not making this up. I'm really sorry. In the UK, a birth coach has been fired from her job in a charity because she said that only women can give birth. It's true. It's a fact. It's her job. And yet, even saying it gets you fired. In Holland, they're doing a transgender road crossing. And the thing that struck me about the article that supported this was it said, we want everyone to love whoever they want. Yeah? Remember what I said about pedophilia? Are you saying really there are no limits? Well, where does all this lead? It does lead to hell. Now, I am not going to put the link to this because I don't want anyone to see it. I've seen it myself. And I can never unsee it. But Pink News have been reporting without any sense of condemnation or horror or shock. Indeed, the report itself was quite commendatory about a drag queen called Blair who did on stage an act that was an abortion. In other words, she did a fake cutting a baby out of her tummy with all the blood and everything else and celebrating it. It's gross, it's wicked, it's evil, and it's not finished yet.
Don't
This club is a very special club. Sometimes you just say maybe that we are nothing without the fans, but here it's 100% like this. This is the true story.
The opening game of the rebuilt stadium, there was not a dry eye in the house. Everybody who'd worked on building the stadium had a red builder's hat. Every single one of those people was getting hugged, was getting kissed, was having their hands shaken. The club recognises the fans are integral.
The Premier League basically treats the fans, you could say, as customers. If one group won't pay, then they'll find people that will. Whereas in Germany, the fans are very much part of the club, and in Union, that's particularly strong. The
stadium experience. There was a fascinating clip on Football Focus on the BBC about a German team, Union Berlin. Now, I love the Bundesliga. And I love it because of the way they treat their fans, because they treat them not as customers, but really as community and family. And that's the way I think about it for Dundee FC. And I think of the English Premier League and the way that they treat people, and this much of the Scottish League as well. And I hate the way that football's been taken over by big business and multi-billionaires who have it as a kind of trophy for themselves. And Union Berlin, what just a great story. It's a team that was there in the DDR, in East Germany. They've worked really, really hard. They really have a strong community spirit. In this clip, there's a statement about how the fans actually gave blood because they got paid to give blood when the club was about to go bankrupt. When they built a stadium, 2,500 of them renovated their stadium, rather, and they all worked. They remember people who are dead. They counted them in the attendance. One game when they were remembering fans who had died. I thought the whole story was absolutely wonderful. Nobody leaves before the end of the game. They don't have canned music because the fans do their own songs. It's just a fascinating story. And, you know, just a little bit, it reminded me of what the church could be with, of course, a better focus and more reality. But the church should not be a place where we have people who are customers. It's a place where we're family and where we're community. And I hope you belong to a church like that. And I hope you experience a church like that. But good for the Germans. And look, let's have another sporting good news story, I think. The South Africans beating England. Now, I'm not saying that because as a Scotsman, I'm against England. I'm not actually at all. Maybe in football, but certainly not in rugby or in cricket. And I thought England actually did amazingly well. I expected them to win, and they didn't. And the South Africans won, and it was really an impressive game. I'm talking, of course, about the Rugby World Cup. But one of the interesting things is the Christian testimony of some of the players, including Saya Kolisi, who in the Sport Go mag has a Discovering the Saving Power of Christ article. And he talks about his ups and downs and how he struggled with his own sin and so on. And then he says this: "This new life has given me a peace in my heart I'd never experienced before, with the freedom of knowing his plan will always happen." I think I'm going to leave you with that, actually. And that's probably my quote of the day as well, because I do think it's just a wonderful story.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His graces? Or are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
This piece of music is "Are You Washed in the Blood of the Lamb?" And it's sung by Alan Jackson. I just think this is just a marvelous piece of music.
Are you washed in the blood,
in the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside.
Anyway, enjoy it. And if you've got more news for us, we remember the ongoing situations in Hong Kong, in Sudan, in South America. There are so many different situations in the world. Please feel free to send us your news or any questions that you may have. If you want to support us, just go to the Podbean app, and you can support there. And I pray that God would bless you, and I pray that you would know His cleansing power and His hope in a world that's so filled with violence and confusion and mess. May you know the love and the power and the hope of Jesus Christ. See you next week. Just a few more weary days and then